Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Seems like we just said goodbye to you a few minutes ago. The day just flew by yesterday. I don't know, maybe because it was 70 degrees and it was great to get outside and take a walk with the dog and air things out a little bit. So hopefully you got a chance to do that. Kim St. Ange, how are you doing this morning?
Doing all right.
Yeah, did you get outside yesterday with Easton?
Easton is sick this morning.
Oh, no.
I had to pick him up early, so we have a lot going on in our family, but I did get outside for a little bit.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah, it was a fantastic day. Hard to believe it was the third day of February, but today we're moving along and we're back to normal because there is a pretty stiff north wind blowing, and it's gonna cut through your light jacket if you've decided you're going to wear the same thing you wore yesterday. Trust me. High is going to be in the 40s today. So just kind of expect that when you head out the door. Again, we got a big show for you today. Lots to get to. I mean, it just the pace is frenetic. Is that the best way to look? Is that the best word for it? Frenetic. Trying to keep up with all of the winning, and I'm not being smart aleck with that. Trying to keep up with all of the winning is not easy. It's not easy. I heard Greg Gutfeld joking yesterday that the stenographers can't keep up with Donald Trump, like trying to keep track of everything he's saying when he does a news conference. And he joked that under Biden, they used to go out and run errands between sentences because they had so much time, right? I mean, it's just that's the stark difference between these two administrations. And wow. I'm just telling you, it's something else. We're having fun watching it for sure. We are going to get to Jason Chaffetz a little later in the show. In the 8 o'clock hour today, the former congressman, obviously a Fox News commentator as well, contributor. He's got a new podcast that's out. We'll talk a little bit about that along with the news of the day. It looks like, and we're going to get an update on this for you in the 6 o'clock hour. It looks like the Democrats are threatening to slow down Trump's cabinet nominations and approvals because they're so angry. I wonder how many of them were getting enriched through a back door somewhere from the money that was flowing to all of these ridiculous programs through USAID. Sometimes you get your answer in watching how someone reacts to that news, right? It's like watching a five-year-old when they realize they're not going to get the candy bar that they wanted for mom at the grocery store. They had what I would refer to as a drop and flop yesterday in front of the United States House. They are so violently angry that we're not supporting drag shows in Central America with your tax dollars. I listened to a United States senator yesterday refer to this as a constitutional crisis. I mean, that's how ridiculous it is. And all Marco Rubio said was, oh, we're going to continue some of the spending if it makes sense and it's in the best interest of the United States. But a lot of this stuff is gone. There was so little regulation over what was going on with how big was their budget? $50 trillion. I forget how much it was overall. I mean, it was incredible, the amount of money going to USAID. And it's all going to dry up. And they're mostly mad because Elon Musk suggested it. Isn't it crazy? Honestly, I watch this stuff and we got some great bites on that this morning, some great drops we'll get to for you here before long. We're going to talk to Jason Chaffetz at about 8:20. Todd Pyro's in a little bit later. John Lamping, our regular guest on this Tuesday morning, and it's going to be fantastic. So, Carl Middleman, let's get to the top stories right now, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I love the concept of it.
Yeah, that's
the program. Sure, I love the concept, but they turn out to be radical left lunatics. And the concept of it is good, but it's all about the people.
Thank you. Thank you. We USAID was not a bad idea, and it was used by the United States to influence, in many cases, to the positive, what things they wanted to influence in other countries. And then it just got out of control.
From the beaches of Normandy to the mountains of the Korean Peninsula, from the fields of Flanders to the streets of Kandahar, we have fought and died alongside you.
Yeah, whatever. We're still going to put a tariff on your butt, Justin Trudeau, if you don't do what we want. It's that simple. You're not going to take advantage of the U.S. anymore. You're going to help us out a little bit on that northern border, right? Maybe send us a little maple syrup down here or something. That'd be great.
We are 2 weeks in, and President Trump is already delivering big wins for the American people. Let's go through the facts. Promises made, promises kept, and we're just getting started.
Yep, fantastic. The White House dropped that one yesterday. A little video kind of going through all of the big W's so far in the Trump administration.
The rules specify that when we have a gender non-binary candidate or officer, the non-binary individual is counted as neither male nor female, and the remaining six offices must be gender balanced.
You know, I watched a little bit of this the other day. That was a guy named Jamie Harrison. He was the DNC chair who is stepping aside after the horrible butt whipping they got at the voting booth in November. So, of course, he's a complete failure. So they're going to have to find somebody else. So what do they find? They got the leader of the Minnesota Democratic Party is the one that ended up winning the chairmanship of this for next year. And I told you yesterday that anti-gunner 25-year-old David Hogg is the vice chair. So it just proves that they learned absolutely nothing in this election cycle. Nothing. They're going full steam ahead with their far left insanity. The funny thing about that soundbite is, if you listen to what they're talking about, they can't even conduct a meeting without qualifying each candidate through identity politics. It's mind-numbing. Could you imagine being a member of an organization that is so politically correct, you can't even have a slate of candidates unless it meets certain parameters? Honestly, just listen to Cut 13 here, Carl. Have him explain it.
As we must elect a candidate of any gender as well as one male and one female vice chair, we will first ask members to elect a candidate of any gender on the first ballot. Any candidate, male, female, and non-binary, can be elected on that ballot. After a candidate is elected on the first ballot, we'll have one officer of the three, so then we will know which position is filled of the one male, one female, and one vice chair of any gender.
They don't even understand it. He's having to read it off a piece of paper. I mean, this is what you get. I know he's probably defriended me by now, but the parent of a kid my son used to play basketball with, he moved away a while back, and he went on a rant yesterday about why we need to embrace DEI. We need to understand that DEI is what ended slavery. DEI is what caused the civil rights movement. DEI is warm and embracing and inclusive, and he just wishes that all of his friends who are on the other side of the political aisle from him could just open their minds and their hearts to understand how important this is. And I'm like, John, cut the crap. Cut the crap. Don't try to rewrite history and claim that DEI had anything to do with ending slavery or the civil rights movement. It's three words that were made up less than 15 years ago by a group of people who wanted to make that the new social movement in America. That had nothing to do with equal rights. Nothing. What DEI is about is just imagine six people in a foot race. It's letting two or three of those people get a 25-yard head start before the race starts. Sports is the best analogy I can give for it. It's not whether you're the fastest or the smartest, but what color or gender you happen to be should determine if you get a 25-yard head start, because not everybody starts in the same place.
Mm-hmm. I've seen people posting this thing over and over about how DEI includes ramps for someone who's handicapped. And I'm like, you know, I guess that would be the inclusivity part of it. But those are mandated. Without DEI, you have to have those.
Yeah, thank you. That's part of the law already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just, you know, and of course they fired back at me. You don't understand. This is about so-and-so, you know, having an extra opportunity. No. We have a system in America where it's based, when it comes to promotions, when it comes to getting ahead in the world, on how hard you work. Meritocracy. They want to take a pencil and erase the word meritocracy with an eraser. That's what they want to do. And give somebody something they didn't earn. Did not earn it is what DEI stands for. Don't buy into this garbage. It's ridiculous. And this political correctness they're pulling at the DNC is just about a half a notch off from that. It's nuts. It is just crazy what they're trying to do. So I wanted you to hear how confused they are even by their own policies up there at the DNC. All right, we'll get to a quick break. Again, so much news yesterday, hard to cover it all. Pete Hegseth, Tom Holman down at the southern border. They're taking troops down there now to help out with what's going on to demand the border. I thought that was fantastic. We'll get to all that and more, plus Kim on a Whim coming up. First, though, let's get to our national anthem.
It is really, really a sad day in America. We are witnessing a constitutional crisis. We talked about Trump wanting to be a dictator on day one, and here we are.
Don't you love being lectured to somebody that married her own brother to get him into the country? That's Ilhan Omar. Isn't that? Did you see the picture of the group that gathered in front of the Capitol yesterday? All of the assorted nuts were there, including Ilhan Omar, Chris Murphy, Jamie Raskin, all of these left-wing progressive Democrats who were suddenly ready to throw their body in front of a moving train to stop us from eliminating wasted dollars, trillions of dollars in wasted dollars. I know you heard the soundbite I ran yesterday with Margaret Brennan challenging, well, but that's less than 1% of the whole budget of the United States government. He goes, it was Brian Mast, he said, but Margaret, we're still talking about billions of dollars. I don't care if it's 1% of the federal budget. It's a huge waste of U.S. tax dollars. These aren't private dollars that have been donated to be spent on condoms and in Gaza and comic books in South America. That's not what the purpose of this government is. How have we gotten so lost? Can somebody please tell me that? They went on and on yesterday about how bad this spending is. Listen to Jamie Raskin. This is his challenge he threw down. Cut nine, please.
Elon Musk, you didn't create U.S. aid. The United States Congress did for the American people.
Right.
And just like Elon Musk did not create U.S. aid, he doesn't have the power to destroy it. And who's going to stop him? We are. We're going to stop him.
No, you're not. You're not. You didn't create USAID, Jamie Raskin. It operates under the Department of State. The State Department is under the administration of the President of the United States. The Secretary of State, appointed by the President of the United States, the nominated and approved with advice and consent of the Senate, is now in charge. Marco Rubio is now in charge of USAID. He said that yesterday.
He doesn't even want to get rid of all of it.
No.
He feels like there are things that they're doing that are very effective and important. And I think that's important. I don't think that you can throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think with a lot of these things, there's clearly misuse of public funds, taxpayer dollars, and that needs to be closely examined and gotten rid of. But you can't just say blanket statement, this is a failure. We have to look at everything individually.
I agree with RFK Jr., who pointed out that USAID was the Agency for International Development, was created. The idea came from the CIA. They wanted an organization that they could have cash in so that they could go into foreign countries and influence outcomes. And that makes perfect sense, because often that's in the best interest of the United States, right? If there's a country where there's a fledgling democracy and they can go in and spend some dollars teaching them how to set up voting systems and things like that, or supporting a certain candidate who's going to be more favorable to the U.S., maybe that's a good way to spend the money. You could argue that. But what it's morphed into, it's just been bastardized is what's happened to it. And now they've gotten their tentacles in it. And, you know, a lot of these people are no doubt. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't have any proof of it. Maybe Elon Musk does. But, you know, some of these congresspeople are getting money through the back door because of the billions we waste on USAID. If not, they wouldn't be throwing this kind of a fit over the fact that we're about to cut the hell out of that budget. We're going to trim billions of dollars from that budget this year for the American taxpayers, and it's going to be glorious. It's a win after win after win. It's hard to keep up with. We'll keep talking about that in just a minute. We're also going to get to Kim on a Whim, and in the 8 o'clock hour, I told you Jason Chaffetz is going to join us at about 8:20 this morning. You can always check it out on the podcast if you can't hang around and listen.
Kim on a Whim.
Then we are unveiling the Second Amendment summer tax holiday. So from Memorial Day till the 4th of July, you can get your ammunition, your firearms, and your accoutrements tax-free in the state of Florida.
Love that.
Yeah, you probably recognize that voice by now. That, of course, is Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. And he was talking about this so-called Second Amendment summer, as he's dubbed it, that would be part of his upcoming budget proposal for 2025-2026. Now, keep in mind, they still have to approve this. So they go back to session March 4th, so right. Actually a month from today, and they'll have to make sure that they want to approve this. But he says he thinks this is going to be wildly popular. He says, why would you want to fight back on this? Now, of course, they will find a reason to fight back on it. And I was looking into this because I found this very interesting, because to my knowledge, Missouri does not have anything like this. We have tax-free weekend, but that seems to be more geared toward parents who are going back to school shopping and they need all the school supplies and the new clothes and things like that. What I found was there are three states that currently have something similar to this in place, and that would be South Carolina, Louisiana, and Mississippi. Several other states, including Texas, Alabama, Maryland, Tennessee, they have tried to pass something like this for years and have been unsuccessful. And I guess it's just people freaking out that you're going to have an easier time buying guns and ammo.
Maybe maybe it's the fact that they're freaking out that you're taking money away from the government, which is a greedy piglet, as we've talked about on many occasions. The only people that would be offended by that, I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, I know gun sales are still strong, and I know that there, a lot of money gets spent on that every year, but I would have to think to myself, it can't be that the sales tax off those sales alone, if you eliminated it for what's the period of time in Florida? What do you say?
What do you mean? Summer.
Just the summer.
No. Sorry. He's calling it Second Amendment summer, but no, there would only be one. It would be basically, it would allow people to purchase, it says, firearms, ammunition, and accessories tax-free from Memorial Day to July 4th. So Memorial Day is what?
May 30th.
May
right?
30th. Okay.
Roughly?
So it's not like the entire summer, but it's a good amount of the summer.
Yeah, absolutely. You get basically a month and a week. Six weeks of tax rate. That can't amount to that much money out of the state budget. I don't know what they would be worried about.
It will be interesting to see what they think about this, because they'll find some way to pick it apart.
Well, here's the thing about it. It's possible somebody suggested that in the state of Missouri, because there were like 400 bills pre-filed before they went into session. And I haven't read all of them. I'm sorry. We'll have to pass them to see what's in them. But there may be something like that that's been proposed. I've never heard of it. You know, a little later we're going to get our friends from the Range San Luis West on here, Phil Balsamo. He's their training manager out there. I'll ask him if he's ever heard of it for the state of Missouri. It's a great idea. You get back to school tax-free tax-free weekends. Why not Second Amendment tax-free weekends?
Well, I found something else that was very interesting, and that was a bill that's been proposed in New York that would require criminal background checks. You'd have to do fingerprinting, the whole shebang, in order to purchase a 3D printer. And I think what they're trying to get at is because now people are able to make these ghost guns. Remember the guy who murdered the UHC CEO? They're saying he used a 3D printer to make this ghost gun, right, that you couldn't track. I have to wonder if this is in part because of what happened with that situation. And that also is because you could use a 3D printer for all kinds of things. I mean, students are using them in school. This is I mean, that technology, I don't even know how much it costs, but I would imagine it's expensive. But to me, that's going to be something that eventually is in a lot of schools. To show kids how to use it, you know, like I think back to stupid.
Did that pass?
No. It's a bill being proposed now in New York.
Yeah. I'm not surprised because New York's a bunch of nuts. I mean, they've got a bunch of left wing loons that run the state house up in New York. It's crazy. You're gonna require a background check to get a 3D printer. So your middle schooler wants a 3D printer because they're relatively inexpensive these days. The small ones, anyway. Compared to what they were five years ago.
Yeah, but what can you really print with those small ones?
And Legos and things. I mean, if your kid wants it, they're going to do it. If they're interested in science, you might want to buy one for them to spur their interest.
Well, right, that's my point. I think these are going to be in schools eventually. I'm looking on Amazon. I don't know.
Carl Middleman probably has one so he can build X-Wing fighters and stuff like that. No?
I would love that.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
It looks
you could probably do the Millennium Falcon on that. I bet the plans are out there.
Oh, they are.
Are they?
They are.
For 3D printer?
Yes.
That's awesome.
On Amazon, it looks like they're on sale for $169. I see one for $279. But then I see them, you know, thousands of dollars.
For the big ones, you can spend thousands of dollars. But it's silly season. Because just like the ghost gun argument that they make all the time, the percentage of crimes committed by people with these so-called ghost guns, particularly 3D printed ghost guns, has to be, I'll bet it's less than 0.5%. It's probably lower than that. They're probably not even capable of collecting the data. Now, there's a difference between a ghost gun and a 3D printed gun. So take ghost gun off the table for a minute. For 3D printed crimes where they can prove a crime was committed with one, I'll bet it's statistically insignificant. I can't even imagine how low the percentage is.
Don't you think that's important? I mean, there were many reasons why that whole UHC murder was jaw-dropping.
Well, yeah.
But that was an element of it that I think caught a lot of people's attention.
But the kid was a nerd, and he was very smart and clearly had a major mental health breakdown, and he might have figured out that he could print a frame and then go find a barrel somewhere to fit that. Regular everyday criminals aren't that smart. They don't have those resources.
That's why they're breaking into cars. They don't care about your quarter in there that you're using at Aldi to get your cart. They are looking for guns. Very rarely are they going to waste their time breaking into your car and checking your door handle for a little bit of change you keep in the center console.
I love the tax-free weekend idea. I think that's fantastic.
Well, we'll see what happens March 4th when Florida goes back into session. Lawmakers.
I love DeSantis. I always have liked the way he governs down there in Florida. He wasn't the greatest presidential candidate. It just wasn't his time. I really wish he had never even entered that race. I didn't think it was a good idea because once you cross Trump, you've crossed Trump. He has no interest really in working with you again after that. But I've heard him say nice things about DeSantis since DeSantis dropped out earlier than Nikki did.
I think that he could potentially, I'm sure J.D. Vance will run in 4 years, and I think depending on how this term shakes out with Trump, I'm going ahead and guessing it's going to be very successful, but I think there's a chance that DeSantis could run again in either 4 years or sometime in the future. I think he would make a phenomenal president. I really do. I think he just came off a little bit awkward or just insecure, maybe. Not just not as confident as he typically comes off when he's doing. I mean, look at how he handles hurricane coverage. He
right.
dominates. You know, you compare that to Gavin Newsom and how he's been handling all these horrific wildfires in California. And it was night and day. DeSantis is just all over it. He takes action very quickly. And he comes off very confident. And we didn't quite see the same level of confidence, I think, when he was running for president.
No, I'm not sure why. A little awkward in some cases with his speeches, not necessarily warm. Great ideas. I mean, I don't have any issue with his ideas.
Well, I don't think Trump comes off warm, but I think he comes off relatable in that he has no filter. So he kind of makes up for the lack of warmth with just... that he, you never know what's going to come out of his mouth. Trump is an entertainer, you know? The guy, people want to watch him because he flies by the seat of his pants.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I've got a soundbite for you this morning from Donald Trump talking about tariffs. And it wasn't from this year. It wasn't from 2020. And it wasn't even from 2016 in the campaign. Donald Trump is consistent. He has principles and ideas that he sticks to, whether you believe that or not. I mean, you think that he shoots from the hip sometimes, but if you've listened to some of the interviews he's done over the years with from way back with Letterman, and these are, you can see him on YouTube, interviews he's done about what he would do if he was president. He's always been consistent with his ideas of making America first. He's never wavered from that. As much as you may not like how he says it sometimes, I think his give a darn button is broken these days, but he's been consistent. I'll play that for you when we get back here in just a couple of minutes on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Stay tuned.
If you're feeding a person a crap sandwich with a smile, it's still a crap sandwich.
Speaking of crap sandwiches, I kind of put, generally speaking, Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins into that category when it comes to United States senators. Generally weak-kneed, left-leaning members of the United States Senate who happen to have an R after their name. But a little bit of good news for Susan Collins, who apparently has decided she will support Tulsi Gabbard for the DNI position. And which is key because it's pretty clear that Murkowski is going to vote against her. Obviously, she can only afford to lose a couple of votes. There were a couple of other senators who were sort of on the ropes and hadn't decided how they were going to go. But at least they got Susan Collins, and maybe that brings a couple of other of those yellow-bellied folks over to vote for her. I would hope there's a tremendous amount of pressure on them to do that. Now, I want to point out something about what happened this weekend, and I think you have to give Donald Trump credit where credit is due. I'm watching Kim, my friends who are liberals, on Meltdown Daily, like Ilhan Omar kind of melting down over Donald Trump making cuts in this USAID program. They don't know what to do with it. And then the other half of them are melting down over, oh, prices are going to go up. My eggs are going to cost more. What am I going to do with my maple syrup from Canada? Honestly, walk to your pantry right now and tell me how many products you have that came from Canada. Relax. Maybe you like your Corona beer. Maybe if the tariffs had gone through, you would have spent a few more cents per bottle on it. I don't know. But the point is, it's not going to happen. You have to give Donald Trump credit where credit is due. Scott Jennings was trying to point this out to the numbskulls on CNN yesterday. Listen.
You have to give Trump a little credit so far. He has had some success with this behavior modification strategy so far. It worked on Colombia. And if you look at the news reports from the weekend, it might be working on Panama as they have started to move away from China a little bit over this issue of who actually controls the Panama Canal. So one of the larger macro issues here to me is Donald Trump on a mission to show dominance in the hemisphere, dominance in the region, and to try to get other people to bend to our will? Colombia and Panama, I believe, have. If Mexico and Canada bend on helping us stop the flow of people and drugs, that would be another victory. And John, yes, if the tariffs went away, everyone would be happy. We'd have less immigration, less drugs, and lower prices, and that'd be a great day for everybody.
Yeah. So that's a little dated because Canada did fold like a cheap house of cards. Mexico folded like a cheap house of cards, as we all knew they would. As we talked about yesterday, 85% of Canada's trade is with the U.S. 85% of our trade is not with Canada. So you have to understand who stands to lose the most in a tariff war. And when it comes to tariffs, it's exactly what Scott Jennings said a minute ago. Think about this, folks. And I've said this before. I'm going to go ahead and take credit for it, Kim. Sorry. Here I am. If children these days were taught consequences the way we were when I was growing up, we'd have a lot fewer problems in the world, right? That there are consequences for your behavior, not timeout. Timeouts don't work, in my opinion, for young children. They don't. It does not modify their behavior. They have to feel the pain a little bit. I'm sorry. That modifies their behavior. A good whack on the butt modifies their behavior. I believe that. It's not child abuse. It's behavior modification. That's what this is. Scott Jennings hit the nail on the head. And tariffs, when it comes to economic policy, it's behavior modification. Your behavior is not pleasing me, right? I'm the big guy on the block. I don't like your behavior. You need to modify it. And if you don't modify it, there are going to be consequences for your actions. The president of Mexico just learned that this week. She's a socialist. She didn't like it very much. But guess what? She's sending 10,000 troops to the U.S. southern border, to her northern border. Trudeau had to swallow his pride. It's behavior modification. And this is not a new concept for Donald Trump. It's not. So I want to play this bite for you that I found this morning from not 2024, not 2020 when he was running for president, not 2015 when he announced he was running for president. I want to take you back to when Barack Obama ran for president the last time in 2012. Donald Trump was not a candidate. He was the fat and happy president of Trump Enterprises. And he was speaking at an event, I believe it was in Las Vegas, to a group of business people. And this is what he pointed out way back in 2012. And I hope people are paying attention to the consistency of the message here. Listen.
Somebody said, well, what would you do? What can you do? So easy. I drop a 25% tax on China. And you know, I said to somebody that it's really the messenger. The messenger is important. I could have one man say, we're going to tax you 25%. And I could say another, listen, we're going to tax you 25%.
The messenger matters. And modifying how you want to modify their behavior matters. What we've been doing hasn't worked.
Well, he's been saying this stuff forever, like you said, even on shows like Ellen DeGeneres, and they all liked him until he came out
as a Republican.
As a Republican. They were a fan of Donald Trump and seemed to be on board with what some of the things he was saying, like that.
Oh, I know. And they hated him for so long that they don't even, I mean, they don't even realize what he's doing for them now. It's hard to keep up with. It's fantastic. All right, coming up, we'll get to John Rogers. We're going to talk to him more about the tariffs, right? And people accusing him of being abusive to our neighbors on each side. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.